Amrita and seemingly exaggerated glories of Vrindavan. Anyone lives there, they get prema and so many things. But the Vrindavan is unlimited, so the glorification of Vrindavan can be unlimited. So many adjectives and so much ornamental language. It's all true. It's not imagination. Of course, there's more than that's because what it basically is, the book is a glorification of Vrindavan and all the animals that are there and the dust and the trees and the Yamuna and the Vrishvasis and then the sadhakas that live there, and so many aspects of Vrindavan are being glorified, and they're all true, but it's also individual considerations. So you were saying, I don't remember, but if you stay in Vrindavan, you get prema. That's a fact. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, these Panchanga Bhakti, Alpa Sparsha, Babu Pajai, that even the slight touch with these five, one attains Bhav for Krishna. So then, of course, there's some criterion. So all those minute details are not given in Vrindavan Mahimamrita, just as, or even Rupa Goswami, he just says in a very summary way. But then Atikas explain commentaries on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which can also apply to Vrindavan Mahimamrita. They say that there's some terms and conditions of how to live in Vrindavan and how to get prem. One is that one is near aparadi. He's not making any offenses to any creature or any Vrijvasi or anyone or anyway. Dham and Nam and Vaishnav and Jiva and Seva, many types of aparadha there. And then is nirapuradi, then he has to have vishwas, faith, strong faith. And this is the fact. If I live here, many people, they know that if you die in Vrindavan, you get liberated. But actually, that sounds very appealing and it's very nice. But for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that's not our goal. The general Chatur Purushartha, the original Vedic culture, which was orbiting around Varnashram Dharma, four Varnas and four Ashramas, the collective goal for everyone and every Varna and every Ashram was moksha. Dharmart kam moksha. So everyone had this was the goal of human life. Chatur Purushartha. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came 500 years ago as the Prema Avatar, Patita Pavan, Kali Yuga Patita Pavan Avatar, when he came, then he introduced a fifth art, Panchama Arta, Panchama Purushartha. He says, Prem is a Panchama Purushartha, Krishna Prem. And Prem, if one attains Krishna Prem, wherever he is, it doesn't matter, even any type of species of life or whatever. That itself is perfection. Attaining prema, Krishna prema, is perfection. And it brings with it all ecstasies, all bliss, satisfaction, fulfillment. It creates an entire spiritual dimension, entire spiritual aura and reality for the person who's living in prema. So it doesn't matter where he is. Because he has his own. It's like someone who wears a rubber suit and then has some oxygen tanks on his back. He can go scuba. He can swim under the water like a fish and have his own oxygen. So he can go anywhere. Nobody else can go there because they don't have oxygen. So he's relishing that world underwater, tropical fish and all these coral and all these things. So the Premi Bhakta, he's living in his own bubble. He's living in the spiritual world. So he often has visions of the Leela and enters Leela Pravesh in his sadhaka roop, in his smaran, in his purified mind and heart. That spiritual realm and dimension is revealed there. Because the spiritual realm or Goloka Vrindavan is not a fixed planet at a certain altitude from here and a certain longitude and latitude. It's not like that. Even the oldest sacred books on the planet from the Christian world, the Bible, they say the kingdom of God is within you, but it's also without you, and it's also above you and everywhere. So the Prema Bhakta, he's He's there. So someone says, oh, you should go from here and go to Vaikuntha. I said, why? I'm in Prem. I'm in Prem Dham Vrindavan. Because we say a man or a woman, your reality is your consciousness. If you're a very negative and envious and angry, lusty person, that's your consciousness. And that's the kind of world you've created around yourself because of your desire and because of your prarabdha karma and your janam svabhav. The qualities that you have brought over from your last life and the actions create a very lusty mind and a very greedy mind, a very envious mind. So that's kind of a hellish consciousness, we can say. Lots of misery, because that's the result of these qualities. Anger and lust and greed are all products of tamogun and rajogun, which bring misery and suffering. So the Premi Bhakta, he doesn't. And Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting the highest form of prem, Radharani's Madanakya Mahabhav, in the Gambhira, in the last Gambhira Leela, the last 6 years of his Prakat Leela. And there he said, Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamiye mama janmani janmani shre bhavatad bhakti aitaki. Bhagavan bhakti means prem, Bhagavan prem, Bhagavat prem. So if someone has Bhagavat prem, then he's Niskanchan in the truest sense, because he's relishing the great amrit, prem amrit, of Krishna's seva and remembrance and visions of Krishna, spurtis or whatnot. So this is the goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But in Mathura Mahatmyam and other Puranas, Rupa Goswami, they say anyone who dies in Vrindavan, insect or criminal, they get liberated. So what does that mean? The Vaikuntha liberation, first of all, there's all different levels of Vaikuntha liberation. You can go to Vaikuntha even when you have material desire. You have desire to have the same form as Vishnu, or the same. You want to be fabulously wealthy like Vishnu, and you want a big palace, wealth, or the same planet, Salokya, or you want the same form, Sarupya. So even then, there's a tinge of some desire, although it's prema mixed with personal desire. It's possible. But in our Krishna prema and prema seva, our actual goal is Radha Krishna's prema seva. So that's why Lord Chaitanya said there's not a pinch of desire, nadanam, because this is all the desires of human beings, they center around these things. Dhanam janam sundarim. Nadanam najanam sundarim. Kapitam vajagadisha kamiye. He doesn't have any calm, there's no desire. We have desires for money and for women and for men and for beauty, beautiful things, and all these prestige and honor and so many things. But Lord Chaitanya said the Premi Bhakti, he gives all that up. So that's what it takes. We have to be totally niskanchan, totally pure, and then you can go to Prem Dham Vrindavan to serve Radha and Krishna. But if you're a Gaudiya Vaishnava and you don't attain prema, then you again take birth. Because a Gaudiya Vaishnava is living in Vrindavan, and when he dies, then mukti will come before him. And Krishna Karanamrita, Bilva Mangala Thakur, has one verse where he says, mukti swayam mukuli tanjali sevate swam. Mukti swayam mukuli tanjali sevate swam. That mukti, the goddess of mukti swayam, with folded hands, she stands before the Premi Bhakta and says, what do you want? So for the devotee, the Premi Bhakta, the one who's aspiring for prema, if he dies in Vrindavan, Krishna knows what is his desire, so he's qualified. He died in Vrindavan. Even a criminal will get mukti. So you said, if I just live in Vrindavan and take care of my wife and my kids and work and just be a nice guy and follow basic moral religious principles, then I die. Even though it even says you're a murderer or a dacoit, you also get liberated. But what is that liberation? We spit at that liberation. We don't want that liberation. We reject it. We say, no, we don't want it. Mama Jamini Jamini Ishwari. So Jamini Jamini Ishwari. So rather, if we don't attain prema and we're living in Vrindavan, why are we living in Vrindavan? Because we're attached to Vrindavan and we're attached to Krishna and we want to get the benefit of the atmosphere and the ambience and the sadhu sangha and the holy places and ancient Thakurjis. This is Leela Bhumi, and it's an incomparable place, even today with all the development. You can't match the atmosphere or the ambience or the feeling or the sensitivity of the land and sky and the animals and birds. They all move in a different way and they act in a different way because they're all members of Krishna's caste. They're all players in Krishna's aprakat lila, or let's say prakat lila for us. The parrots are not parrots, they're sages. The trees are not trees, they're yogis. Like this, it's quite a different than what it looks like. A parrot is a parrot is a parrot. A rose is a rose is a rose. But it's not like that. A parrot in a cage in Delhi is not the same as a parrot in a tree in Vrindavan. So this is, Vaikuntha means go to Vaikuntha in the material world where Shirdakshaya Vishnu lives and you stay for a long time and come back again. Which is very interesting. Because Krishna says in Gita, if you come to me, but Krishna is speaking, not Vishnu. This is the Kartima Kartima. He can do or not to. So Krishna is speaking Gita, and he says, you know, if you come to me, you never come back. If you know about my transcendental activities in Leela, you don't come back. Janma karma chame devyam evam yo vati tatvata tyaktva deham punara janma nayati mamati sorjana nayati. You don't come again. So that's Krishna. But in many Puranas, when you read the Ekadasi Mahatmyam, it says, anyone observes this Ekadasi, or this king became a ghost, and then his wife donated all her punya and piety to him, and then he got his kingdom back, and then in the end they went to Vaikuntha. Like this. Happy endings. Very nice. No crying at the end of the movie. You go out of the movie smiling, happy. Good time for all. Happy ending for everyone. So where is that Vaikuntha? Because that Vaikuntha, because he hasn't attained prema. So that Vaikuntha, where anybody goes to Vaikuntha, that's the glory of Vrindavan. Because if you die in Hyderabad or Delhi or New York, and you're a badmash or ordinary person, you don't go to Vaikuntha. You come back. But if you die here, that's a great boon and benediction. So that's the great speciality of Vrindavan. It has that power, has mukti shakti, the power to liberate. But even then, that term is not forever, because even in these Puranas, when they say, you do this punya or you do that punya, and you go to Vaikuntha for 60,000 years, sometimes it says you go to Vaikuntha for 60,000 years. But then that means you come back. You come back here. But if you attain prema, if you're actually in Vrindavan or out of Vrindavan, and you attain Vaikuntha prema or Vishnu prema, and even you still have, you may have some desire mixed in with your prema, as I said, desire to be look like Vishnu, or I want to be God, but I serve him, I surrendered. I don't want to be God, but I want to look like God. Sarupya. But you attain prema, so then you go to Vaikuntha and you don't come back. That Vaikuntha. So there's Mahavaikuntha in the material world, Shirdakshaya's planet, and there's the planet of all the Narayan Vishnu forms in Vaikuntha, across the causal ocean, beyond this material world. So this is what all these things mean. So the devotee, he doesn't want to settle for that. He's eligible. He dies in Vrindavan. So mukti may come before him. Oh, I'll take you to Vaikuntha. No, thanks. Now, instead of the verse of Krishna Karanamrita, he's saying that mukti's folding her hands, waiting to serve the pure devotee. Mukti swayam ukalitanjali sevate swan. But in this case, when it comes, that may be when a devotee is alive or whatever, anything's possible. He can attain anything because he has pure bhakti. That's Krishna Karanamrita, verse 107. Bhaktis toyi stiratara bhagavan yadi syad daivena na falati divya kishora murti Mukti swayamukulitanjali sevate sman dharmartha kama gatya samaya pratiksha. Then Bill Mangala says, if I'm engaged in Krishna bhakti, then very easily, Krishna, I can perceive your presence everywhere. I think that mukti is standing at my door with folded hands, waiting to serve me and offer me all the material conveniences of dharma, art, kam. They're all standing with her. So when the devotee, the Gaudiya Vaishnava, he dies in Vrindavan, he maybe, Mukti Devi comes and says, let's take Vaikuntha. She'll say, no, Nadanunajanam, I don't want Vaikuntha. I want the praying seva of Radharani. So, okay, so then you'll take another birth in Vrindavan. And again, meet Guru, and again, take up bhakti, and then attain whatever, and then finally attain prema, then you go to Krishna. And some verses in Mathura Mahatmyam where Krishna is directly speaking himself, he's saying that mamalayam, they will come to me if they die in Vrindavan, which means Krishna Loka. So when I asked my teacher about that, he said, yes, this is correct, they will come to Krishna, but when? Mamalayam. So anyone who dies, they'll come to me. So they will, but they will eventually come to me. But if he lived in Vrindavan, he did so many murders, then he may go. There's all these things that go together. Because you read that also in Puranas. When someone comes before Yamaraj, he asks the person, he says, like Mushukunda, the story of Mushukunda. He did so many pious things. But he's a king, maybe killed some innocent animals or whatever. So then Yamaraj said, so what do you want to receive? You want to first receive the benefits of your punya, or you want to be punished for your sins? So he said, oh, whatever. These stories are there. So the dacoit who murders people and lives in Vrindavan, he dies, he goes to Vaikuntha in the material world. But then he also has all his murders. So he goes there for 60,000 years. That's the benefit. That's the good thing, because he died in Vrindavan. But now he gets a bad result of his papa karma, and then he has to become a worm in Vrindavan, or a pig in Vrindavan, or be murdered in Vrindavan, or whatever, until everything's balanced. So this is the nature of the situation. Whereas someone who dies in Vrindavan, they'll eventually get to Krishna. So he goes to Vaikuntha, then he comes back, then he goes to hell for so many births to suffer for all his sins, and then again he takes birth in Vrindavan. Now finally, after one of those births, whatever how many there are, he meets Guru. He starts doing bhakti. Then he dies and he attains nishta. Then again he comes back to Vrindavan and he gets guru and he attains ruchi. Then he dies in Vrindavan and again he comes back in bhav. Then finally he gets prema. Then he comes straight to Krishna and prakat lila, Bhoma Vrindavan. Again he's born in Vrindavan, but Bhoma Vrindavan in Siddhadeya. So he doesn't come back anymore. So this is how to adjust everything together. The shastras are correct. And when Rupa Goswami is quoting Mamalayam, they come to Krishna, that blessing is with them because of Krishna's words are there. They must hold true. So even the lowest of persons eventually will come to Krishna because of somehow Krishna allowed him to die in Vrindavan. Just like that person, the murderer dies in Vrindavan, goes to Vaikuntha, Mahavaikuntha in the material world. Then after staying there 60,000 years, again, he comes to Earth, and maybe he doesn't come. Maybe he's not born in Vrindavan, or maybe another planet. But then eventually, again, he'll come back to Vrindavan because that sanskara is there for Vrindavan. It's irremovable. So any way you cut it, living in Vrindavan is beneficial, and dying in Vrindavan is beneficial. Hell or high water, cold or hot. Oh, it's too hot, and air conditioner broke. Oh. What to do? Well, it's too cold. There's no electricity. Our heater doesn't work. Okay, drink some hot water. No problem. Braj is like Krishna. Yeah, the Vrindavan Mahimamrita, many neophyte devotees have gotten thoroughly in trouble with that book and made a lot of offenses also. Because these are true statements. You can never reach the end of the glories of Vrindavan. They're all glories of Vrindavan. But as far as how accurately they apply the glory. On one side, these are the glories of Vrindavan. But as far as the instructions about what the sadhaka is supposed to do, these are his exaggerated ecstasies. If someone tells you to leave Vrindavan, then kill them. No, that the point of that verse is not kill the person, but the point is to glorify that Vrindavan is so great that you should be ready to die before you leave Vrindavan. That's the real take on it, not the kill anybody who gets in your way. My mother told me to leave Vrindavan, boom. My father told me to leave Vrindavan, boom. Boom. My brother told me to leave Vrindavan, boom. Then their whole family's finished. And then all you have is Vrindavan. Of course, that may be also good, but this is illegal and it's irreligious, so we don't advocate that. So we have to take everything, as I say, with a grain of salt. And these are sometimes highly exaggerated statements. You have to understand what is the tenor of it. The intention of the book is to glorify Vrindavan, not to give instructions for sadhakas what they're supposed to do. It's not called Upadeshamrita. It's not called Manashiksha. Rupa Goswami wrote Manashiksha, and Raghunath Das Goswami wrote Manashiksha, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Manashiksha. So many people have Manashiksha. We have our own Manashiksha going on right now. So we're always instructing our mind. Well, we should be instructing our mind, but most of the time, most people are being instructed by their minds. Do this, do that, desire this, desire that, want this, want that, need this, need that. These are the pushings and dictates. It's a vegam. It's a pushing. It's mentioned in the first verse of Upadeshamrita, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Mana Vegam, Krodha Vegam. So the pushing of the mind, the pushing of anger. So we have to conquer that and control that. The glories of Vrindavan. Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai.